I only missed it by this much. There was a TV show when I was growing up. It was called Get Smart. And it was about a bumbling agent played by Don Adams who always seemed to get it wrong. He tried really hard, but he missed it by this much. And he tried and tried to get it right. When I read the scripture today, I see a bunch of Don Adamses in the crowd, and they think they understand, and they think they're getting it right, and they keep blundering just off to the wrong side. They see Jesus, and they go, wow, this guy can make bread out of thin air. We should follow him. It's not the fact that he can make bread out of thin air. It's the fact that he has the power to make bread out of thin air. It's not the fact that they won't be hungry anymore, that they don't have to worry in this world about not having anything to eat. It's they're following the man who made the world that they're living in. But they only missed it by this much. I've often said that the United States of America was founded on Christian principles. And that as such, it often shines brightly. Reagan called it the city on the hill, referencing Revelation. And I think in many ways we do, because we have a lot of the right principles in the right places. We look to the right things at the right times. But I got to be honest, sometimes you miss it by this much. And one of the things that makes it difficult for Christians in the United States is we have a Protestant work ethic that wants to, how did Larry say it? Get her done. To attack it, to finish it, and be done with it. We essentially want to live the Christian faith like hunters and gatherers. We found it, we saw it, we got it, we're bagged it, we're back home, and it's all over. But the Christian faith is a little bit different than that. In Luke 9, Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for my sake will save it. We don't like that. What do you mean I have to do it every single day? Every single morning? I never build up enough points. I never capture the prize, the treasure. Tomorrow morning I got to get up and do it again? Yes, but it's not in the way that you would think. It's not that you have to go out and do it. When you get up in the morning and take up your cross, you're getting up in your morning and turning toward Christ. You're not looking in the mirror. You're looking to the Lord. It shouldn't be a burden. It should be a blessing. I preached a little while ago about the Ten Commandments and the idea that covetousness is a pitfall for Christianity, because it takes the focus off you, takes the focus off God, and it puts it on somebody else. That my desire to preach like Peter is good, because the preaching that Peter did was powerful and it was of God. Coveting would be, I resent the fact that Peter could preach like that and I can't. Having a desire for something and coveting it are two different things. I want to kind of continue on with that. In this world, satisfaction, contentment are very important, but how we seek them means everything. Because what happens is we are often fed a different message of what it means to be satisfied, content, or fulfilled. If you believe TV, you can find satisfaction in a Snickers bar. I like a Snickers bar as much as anybody else, but it's never really brought me satisfaction. And the other thing is what I was talking to the kids about. It's the satisfaction of achievement. Should we be satisfied and contented? Or should we be seeking more? In this world, it sounds like that's an either-or proposition. You're either satisfied or you want more. But in the Christian walk, it's a different situation altogether. In the Christian walk, you look at what you have and you're grateful for what you've received because you know God's hand was involved in it. But the beauty of following God is no matter how much He has blessed you, He's not done yet. He has more blessings to come. Not that you've earned them, not that you're owed them, but He has more blessings to come because He loves you. Those blessings keep coming. John 10, Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Others may come to steal and rob, but I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." I was talking with somebody about the Lord's Prayer, and they said, you know, give us this day our daily bread is a hard prayer to pray because you're only getting enough to get you by for the moment. I said, you know, you really need to look at Genesis and see when God gave the manna to the people, He didn't give them enough to stop them from dying. It says they all ate their fill. They had all the bread they could ask for that day. They just couldn't hoard it. What did they have to do? The next day they had to look to the Lord again that He would provide. It's not that He gives you subsistence and helps you to survive. He fills your life with abundance. Because He loves you. So the satisfied, contented, or fulfilled is a different proposition when it comes from God. You have to count your blessings for what you've already gotten, but you can look forward for blessings to come. And you should know that where you are now is not the end, but He has more for you, that He is going to take you to another level because He's going to bless you even more in the days to come. It's hard to wrap your mind around, and I think that sometimes we need some tangible object lessons. Well, folks, that object lesson's right here. Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and He prays, "Lord, let this cup pass from me. Is there any other way this can happen?" And the answer seems to come back from heaven. We don't hear the words, but no. This is the way it has to happen. And Jesus says, "Well, then thy will be done." But that same night, He comes to the table and He knows He is going to take on the sins of the world He's going to go to the cross. He's going to suffer and die to reopen the relationship between us and the Father. And even as he's doing that, he says, you know something? They're still going to doubt. They're still going to stumble. They're still going to need reassurance even after that act. So he came to the table and he said, take and eat in remembrance of me. Drink this cup, my blood of the new covenant with you. These people understood what a covenant was. Covenant wasn't a contract, if you do this, I'll do that. A covenant was, God promises to do this and there's nothing that can change that. And each time you come to the table, I will reassure you that I am present with you, I am present for you, and the best is yet to come. You are going to have an abundant life. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you today, we hear the world screaming, you can have it all. Be all you can be. You can find satisfaction just by this first. Help us to understand that the satisfaction doesn't come from what we hoard or what we have, but for the one that gives it. Help us to realize that you do have to be humble in the face of the gifts you receive. But as C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself a little less. Help us think of the blessings we've received from you. Help us to understand, Lord, that you're not done yet, and that we will live that abundant life that you planned for us from the beginning. We give our praise and thanks to you.